All right, welcome back to the next episode of Two Slow Guys Running Marathons. We're going to probably change it this week and make it Three Slow Guys Running Marathons as we welcome our new contributor to the show, Doug Johnson. So Doug went to high school with me and Tim, and we're now in our 40s.
Late 40s,
who we just kept in touch with each other, and we still keep on running. So Doug, I'll just kind of ask you questions about yourself, and then maybe you can answer as necessary as it relates to this podcast. So first question number one is, how do we all know each other? So, you know, Tim and I answered that last week, but Doug, I'll let you kind of answer that one.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if how you first met Tim matches my story. So, so I met Brian the second day of high school, where another schoolmate of ours had thrown some food at me, and I was chasing him down, and he chose to hide behind Brian for protection. And then end of that day, Brian and I were taking the bus home, which turned out to be our normal mode of transportation, getting to and from school for about 3 years. And so we just hung out and kind of grew from there. Tim, as I remember, was not with us freshman year, but was a transfer later on. I remember being introduced to Tim from our friend Byron. So I don't remember how Tim and Brian met. I'm sure there's a better fun story there that I missed, so I'll probably have to check the first episode. But pretty much, yeah, once Tim showed up, I just remember Tim being in our group forever. So
I think we should know for our listeners, our group was not the most popular kids. Let's just set the record straight on that.
Oh, we weren't the worst either, though. The way I'd sum it up is,
oh,
we
man.
Show just... up at a party and no one would wonder why we were there, but we might have to hear about it from someone else. Yeah.
So. I think, well, one of our other mutual friends described our little group. They would say, we were those guys. We weren't the outcasts, but we certainly weren't the popular ones. We were those guys.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, Tim and I know each other because our lockers were right next to each other, because we have last names that begin with the letter C. So that's how Tim and I got to know one another. So I don't think we went into that much detail, Doug, about the food fights and hanging.
Well, that was just hiding. That was just one. That's how you and I met.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I don't think Tim and I ever got into a food fight together.
Not that I'm aware of. Maybe political arguments, but that's about as far as we got.
Well, that would usually be because everybody else I couldn't argue politics with, because they would gloss over and go play video games.
Let's talk about, so Doug, I know today you are a runner just like Tim and myself. So maybe you can talk about your fitness activity before you started running, and then what got you into running kind of today.
So never really liked running at all. In high school, I used to wrestle and did track. But I was throwing, shot put discus, wasn't actually running. Went to college and was on the wrestling team, but because of a high school injury, I only made it to my first year on the team, and then I had to stop wrestling. So the specific injury was I had a dislocated shoulder. So I needed to find something else that I could do to stay in shape. So running was something I picked up just running around, where I lived at the time. So nothing really organized, competitive. Actually, one of my greatest injuries is because I didn't know how to run. So I ran in basketball high tops for a long time and basically gave myself shin splints. So that was a painful lesson to learn. The reason I never really did it seriously up until I was up in Tahoe. Lake Tahoe with my brother. And our brother-in-law had decided to run what's called the Giants race. So the San Francisco Giants hosts a series of runs on a very specific day. And you have a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon, and a full marathon. I don't know, Brian, if they still do the full marathon, but they used to. And so there was a lot of pressure to do it as a family. And so my brother convinced me to do it. So I said, yeah, sure, why not? But then I realized I was only going to do the 5K, but everybody was running the 10K. So I decided, okay, I will just do the 10K. And I'd never run that much before. Got through the first 4 miles. Saw a couple of things that if we ever do an episode on worst things you've ever seen running, I will bring those stories up. But at mile 4, I realized that physically I could keep running forever. It was a mental thing. And as long as I didn't give up on myself, I could do it. And so without ever running that long, I put in an hour 6 10K, which, you know, something I was proud of because I eventually got it down a sub hour. But that one, nobody ever expected me to do that fast. And it kind of just really got me interested in running races, which has become a hobby of mine ever since.
Oh, that's great. Initially enough, you are not a primary Giants fan. So your affiliation, I know I've seen you wear this garment at every time we hang out, but you're the guy always wearing which team?
Oh, I'm a Chicago Cubs fan. I have a 1 year for the Giants race. They gave you the option to get a fake magazine cover. And in a sea of orange and black, I'm running with my red and blue. And the cameraman got it perfect. Me running, fingers up, smiling, everything. And so I ordered that magazine cover. And it's one of my favorite running pictures because it's like me on the cover of Runner's World with a bunch of Giants fans. And I'm wearing my Chicago Cubs colors and looking really good doing it.
And your brother is an A's fan, right? So he's wearing, he sports the yellow and the green that day. Yeah.
Oakland Athletics. If they cease to be in Oakland, he will still refer to himself as an Oakland Athletics fan.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, next question here. So we talked about your first race. What about the hardest race you've ever done? What do you think that one was for you?
Hardest race I've ever done. In terms of conditions or in terms of my mental ability to finish it or in terms of just lack of training?
Any of that? Any or... one you could pick, but like, what do you think was the hardest for you?
Probably the hardest would be the Walt Disney World full marathon from 2 years ago. No, 3 years ago. 3 years ago. So the marathon is held in Orlando, Florida, and you run through all of the theme parks and a bunch of the surface streets, and it's a really great experience. I think I've run it 7 times total so far. However, this particular year, the temperature topped off well over 100. The water stations didn't have enough water, so they just started shutting down. And people started collapsing from heat stroke. Disney didn't have enough buses to get everybody off the course, so they cut the course. But they couldn't close the race down due to the extreme heat because they couldn't physically move everybody. So we ended up, instead of running 26.2 miles, we probably did 21. When I was in the village at the end of the race, I was seriously dehydrated. I had a massive headache. I was amazed that we had finished. But what was particularly troublesome to see were, you know, people that had Boston Marathon clothing on, crossing the finish line and collapsing immediately. The emergency crews could not keep up with the number of people that were just falling over because of the heat and lack of water. That sticks in my mind because it reminds me that no matter how well you train, you need to be smart about the run races you're doing, hydrate correctly. And to be honest, in that scenario, I probably should have pulled myself out of the race rather than finishing it. But I didn't, because I have this innate need to never pull myself out of a race. But health-wise, that was probably not the smartest decision I've ever made.
Oh, man. Okay. And then what about the, like, a marathon or a half marathon that you've done that you find probably the most satisfying, that you felt like you got the best time, or you felt like you trained the best and you did better than you expected?
So do you remember the Chicago Marathon that we ran together, where my wallet got stolen? But the three of us, I think it was, what, 2018? I think we ran that.
17.
2017? Might have been 17. But so, as so that one, trained well for that one, and you know, did fairly well. I did a marathon, half marathon, 2 months after that in Carnation, Washington. So there's a particular comic, web comic that I like, that goes by the name of The Oatmeal, that has a strip that says, you know, something like the joys and reasons why I love running, or I forget what it's called exactly, but he hosts a race called Beat the Blurch every year. And so 1 year I ran up to Carnation, Washington, which is just north of Seattle, to run it. And it's a great run in a forest. It's a fire trail. It's a gentle grade up and a gentle grade down. So it's an out and back, but it's shaded. And so I did it in just around 2 hours. I think it was like 2 hours and change. But it was a thoroughly enjoyable race. Also because the race support was very much into it. You at every water break or stop, you had water, you had some kind of, you know, nutrition, nourishment, and you had cake pops. And the big thing was, you know, they're saying that the blurch is a mental thing that blocks you from succeeding in your runs. It's a little fat cherub that when you wake up in the morning to do your morning run, you say, oh, you know what, I'm too tired, I'll do it tomorrow. And the moral is, you don't need to beat, you know, your conditioning, everything. You just need to get out there and do it. Beat the blurch, beat whatever is holding you back from running. So they offer you cake pops. I did not take one. But I did get at the end of it some kind of donut wrapped in a burrito that was barbecued. I remember that, which tasted great, but it did make me a little bit stomach off afterwards.
Oh, man. All right. And then let's talk about here. What you normally run every week, or what's your normal weekly routine?
So I run every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. I try to run other days, but then it depends on what I'm trying to do. So the Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday are just to keep in shape. The other things would be like if I'm trying to do fartleks, or if I'm trying to do, you know, get conditioned for the heat. So things of that nature. I do rowing, so I have a rowing machine that I do when I'm not running, just so that I keep, you know, the body from getting used to running. And then I do a lot of kettlebell exercises, just as far as my core strength training and weightlifting.
Cool. And then last question here is, what's your next race that you have lined up for yourself?
So the next race is part of the summer sports series for Clermont, Florida, where I will, it's the fourth and final race. They have one every month in the summertime. You run around, if you do everything, you can run around Lake Mineola. They do, it's a duathlon, triathlon as well. But we just do the 5Ks. It's just a nice way to get out in the morning. And then, you know, I have a 9-month-old daughter, so kind of hard to run longer distance with her. The next legitimate race that I have that's more than a 5 or 10K is the Marine Corps Marathon, where I will hopefully be visiting Tim on that trip.
And I will design the best motivational cardboard sign you've ever seen.
Yeah, there you go. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, thanks, Doug. Okay, let's move on to kind of what's new in running land, any injuries, recommendations, or any new gear. So Tim, I'm going to just jump to you. what's going on with you in terms of running? Have you got any new gear that you want to rave about? How's the injury situation? And anything of the sorts.
No, I don't have any new gear to rave about, only that I did get a replacement pair of running shoes. So I guess that counts. Only it's the exact same brand, exact same color, just less miles on them. Last race again, as you know, Brian, was the San Francisco half, ran the first half. Yep. With Missy, who I've run with many times before in other races, other marathons. So it was great to actually ran into her just by happenstance at the start line. For me, it was a great race. Yep. It was, as Doug will attest, a chance to be back in the Bay Area and not walk out the door into stifling heat and humidity. But I had a lot of fun on the course, just obviously very scenic, running over the Golden Gate Bridge, which I had not done. I had walked over it when I was in the eighth grade, I think, on a field trip. But to do this again many, many years later was a lot of fun. It was a bit congested. Brian, as you ran the full, you attested to, especially on the bridge, there were just some very narrow points that a lot of runners are trying to squeeze through. But at the same time, that's the challenge of the course. So you're going to have those moments where you're not going to be able to break out of the pack, or you're just going to have to run a slower pace. And how are you going to make that up later in the race, either on a downhill or on a flat stretch? But
So Tim, on that race, where did you start at? And maybe you want to talk about where you ran to. So you, I know you ran to the bridge.
So for those of you who are familiar with San Francisco, Crissy Field, which is on the north part of the city. You start there and run over to historic Fort Point, and then come back. You start running uphill to get to the base of the Golden Gate Bridge. And once you're there, obviously you go over the bridge, go north into Marin County, spend about maybe 2 miles or so in Marin County, run past Kavala Point, which is the old officers' quarters from the Presidio that's now been converted into hotels and other areas. Come back over the bridge and or run. I will say you have to run up a pretty steep hill to get back to the Golden Gate Bridge. And Brian, as you and I talked later with Missy, all of us were having flashbacks of Big Sur during that stretch.
Absolutely.
So. My hope was to break two. And when I got to the top of the bridge, ready to run over, I was ahead of the 2 hour pace team. And I thought, okay, I've got a good shot at this. And again, same congestion going back over the bridge, but you know, that is what it is. Was really starting to feel it once I came off the bridge. We're going uphill and there was a lot of burning in my lungs, a lot of just lactic acid in my legs. And actually, the two-hour pace group passed me, and that kind of pissed me off. So, So as you know, Brian, you come over, come over into the northern part of the Presidio. At this point, you're going down into an area called Sea Cliff into San Francisco, but you're running on a downhill. So, I was able to start pulling some sub 8:30s to get myself back in position. Came into the final stretch. I was at 12. I looked down. I thought, okay, I still have a shot to do this, to get under 2 hours, past the 2 hour pace group again, and was really trying to push hard to the finish. And all of a sudden my phone rings and I thought, who in their right mind is calling me? Brian, it was you.
No comment. Sorry.
And my first thought was, I thought you broke 4 hours in your marathon, and that's why you were calling me, because I couldn't imagine why you were calling me at that precise point. But it's all good. Unfortunately, I saw the finish line, and I looked down at my watch. I was at 1:59:50, and I thought, well, no, I'm not going to hit it today. So 2 hours, 26 seconds. So didn't get sub two, but that's the great thing about running. I'll get another opportunity to see what I can do. But great day, great race. Always great to be back in the Bay Area, running in that kind of wonderful Northern California climate. And shout out to Missy. I think she did a 1:55, so great time for her. And just great race. Hopefully next summer can do it again.
So I called you, Tim, just to, because I was running by the finish line at that one point at that time. So I wanted to see if we can get a selfie.
As I'm trying to break 2 hours, like, yeah.
And no. I was going to say, I hope I'm not the reason why you got 2 hours and 26.
No. The cynical part of me wants to blame you, but I can't. The realistic side of me.
I'm blaming Brian. I'll just flat out say it. It's Brian's fault.
Oh, man. I do feel bad about that. Okay, so Tim, let's move on.
If you want to buy me dinner sometime, we'll be fine.
Okay. Well, Gotts, I remember we talked about this when we had dinner. We're going to be going out for burgers after CIM with some beers. So we'll see you in a few months. Okay.
Sounds good.
Next thing here, gear and nutrition. So your shoes, Tim, you're running in Brooks, like Brooks Beast or something?
I am running in a Brooks Beast. So they're a little on the heavier side, but I've had no issues with them. No black toenails, no blisters. So stick with what works. So I'm sticking with what works.
And then nutrition, sticking with, that favorite gel of yours that you always
still doing the Mortons. They're easier on my stomach than I find in goo. I always do the caffeinated version. They're just very bland when you taste them, but I don't think any of us get the gels for snacking purposes. So they do their job. So yeah, I've been using Mortons for, I think, the last couple of years now.
And they're definitely not as sweet as a goo. Like I find it like just probably just a tad less sweet. So mm-hmm. I think that's, I don't know. That's why I enjoy them. Or at least I'll tolerate them a little bit better. So, okay. Last question, Tim, would you do this race again? And would you ever run the SF full one day?
I would definitely do a half. I think the first half I would probably do again, just because it's a lot more scenic. And for whatever reason, I think that was appealing to me this time around, whereas nothing against the second half of the race, but you are running just through kind of just, neighborhoods. And so, I think the first half appeals to me. I would say probably no on the marathon. I run two a year, and that's, with the weeks in training leading up to both of those, one in the spring, one in the fall. That's about, I think, not only physically, but mentally that I can probably handle at this point. I know that if I try to do more, it might just lead to burnout. And that's what I don't want to have happen with running. Plus, it's just, training in Virginia. I mean, I think Doug has it worse than I do being in Florida. But, that heat and humidity starts to come in June. And then by July, it's really on top of you. So I don't know if I'd be at my best for a full marathon. And I think one of the things that draws me to a marathon is the race itself. I usually typically, whether it's New York, it's Chicago or something, I get excited about, going to that area, going to that race. And that's also a great motivator. So I can't say I have the same thing about the San Francisco Full.
Got it. I completely understand. All right. So maybe I'll just go into the Full really quick. So Tim, I was looking at the first half. That's about almost 1500 feet of elevation gain. As you're going up from Sausalito back up to the Golden Gate Bridge. The full marathon started in the Embarcadero area, so right near the ferry terminal. You go through the Embarcadero up to Fisherman's Wharf, and then that's where you meet the first half runners in Chrissy Field area, and then run across the bridge down to Sausalito near the Bay Area Discovery Museum or Cavallo Point, if you're familiar with those spots. You run back up to the Golden Gate Bridge on the other side. And as Tim said, you go through, the Presidio, Sea Cliff, and then you finish up in Golden Gate Park, where the first half finishes. The full continues with a run around Stowe Lake, finishing up through the panhandle of Golden Gate Park, and then going through or you're actually running right near the panhandle, not through it, and then you run through the Haight-Ashbury district, over down to the Mission. So you're going through the Mission, that's probably about mile 21, 22 at that point, and then finishing up in the dog patch area, which is kind of coming up towards the Chase Center where the Golden State Warriors play, and then passing Oracle Park where the San Francisco Giants play, and then you finish up right where you started. So that's 26.2. I've done this race now, I think either 5 or 6 times. So I'll bounce around between the halves and the fulls. But this year I decided to do the full. So, you know, definitely a fun race. Would I do it again? Yes, I'll probably do it again. I think because it's part of the running group that I'm with also during the regular season. And then I'd also run in Brooks, but not the Beast, but in either the Glycerins or the Adrenalines. Okay, so our buddy Doug also ran the 5K at Chrissy Field. So, Doug, I know you couldn't do the half or the full this year, but maybe you want to talk about like your route for the 5K. How was it? Anything to talk about or relevant there? And I mean, I know it's a great place to run, but maybe you can kind of talk about it from your side. What were your kind of views of that little race?
So based on my experience, I've never run the full, but I've run the first and second halves. They tend to stay the same. The 5K bounces quite frequently, which is kind of interesting. So this year it started at the Sports Basement, which is over by in the Presidio, past Chrissy Field. It's technically called Chrissy Field West. And you run through some of the older warehouses almost to what's called Fort Point. Fort Point's a Civil War fort that is underneath the base of the Golden Gate Bridge. Obviously, the Civil War predates the Golden Gate Bridge. So the fort was, you know, it's been there for a long time. You did not go all the way to Fort Point for this. So you turned around before it and then ran back to the Sports Basement. So pretty much it was just a probably 3/4 of a mile out, mile and a half back, you're backwards, passing the start, and then you finished up. So the start and finish was kind of in the middle of it all. Other years, you run through from what's called Fort Mason, you know, around the Embarcadero, or not the Embarcadero, wherever the area is where the houses are that got affected in the earthquake. I forget what they call it.
The marina?
Yeah, the marina. Jeez, I don't like remember that. And then come back through that. So no Fort Mason this year. I will say that as far as courses go, I'm not a big fan of this one. I love the scenery. It's beautiful. But the dust and sand is a little bit of a pain to run through. And the course tends to get narrow in certain points. So with a 5K, you've got a lot of people that's the only race they're running. And they're walking, they're, you know, carrying their dogs, they're pushing strollers, which, you know, this year was me. So it does become very congested and hard to get through in certain spots. So would I run? I'll always run the 5K. I'll do it again, yes, because it's just a nice shakeout run. Hopefully when my daughter is either old enough that I don't need to find her a sitter at 4 in the morning, or she's running with us, we'll get back to running, you know, the halves.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So let's kind of wrap up the show here. And then, so Doug, I'll kind of just ask you first, what's your next race that you have lined up for? Like, what are you training for next, or what's the next race on your calendar?
So you already asked me that, but the next race that I'm training for is a Marine Corps marathon. Cause that's the next race I have is a 5K. I don't really feel that you need to train for a 5K, but the 26. I remember once Tim and I had a discussion before I'd ever started running marathons, because you guys are running marathons way before I did, but I had run a lot of Tough Mudders. And I remember talking to Tim, and Tim mentioning that the mental preparation is what you need for a marathon. And I dismissed it at the time, thinking, you know, Tim's weak, I'm strong, I'm, you know, whatever, something stupid like that. But I will say
that I can't wait to what else did I say that you just conveniently threw aside so quickly?
But it was funny because Tough Mudders are physically draining. They're not a mod mental game. It's really is a question of how well you train. The marathons, Tim was right. It's the biggest thing you run up against is when you check yourself out. And so that's what I've got to make sure I'm able to do is keep my focus running through 26.2, knowing that there is a very aggressive time limit that they adhere to. The San Francisco Marathon, if you don't hit the time limits for whatever reason, I twisted my ankle one year, I remember, and they just said, get to the side and hobble in, you're fine. Marine Corps is not that case. So I need to get the mental game going, which is what I'm working on right now.
Okay. Is this your first Marine Corps, Doug?
It is.
Yeah. And then, Tim, you've run that race a few times.
I have run that race. That was my very first marathon. I ran that one twice. I think the course is still relatively the same, more or less. But for I would say anybody running their first marathon, it's terrific. Very, you know, flat course. I mean, lots to look at. Obviously, the running past the monuments and so forth around DC, and you have a pretty good crowd that comes out to support you, as well as a lot of the race volunteers are going to be U.S. Marines in their fatigues. So if a Marine screaming at you can't get you motivated, I don't know what else can.
Motivation through fear. That's what I'm looking forward to, right?
I would just say put on Full Metal Jacket, Doug, and you'll be fine.
Oh, man. Okay. So, Tim, what's your next race? I know we're running CIM together, but what do you like? Do you have any other races lined up for yourself?
Right now, no. Just CIM is the only one I have on the books. I would like to see if I could get in maybe a 10K, a 10 miler, maybe even a half, just to see where I'm at fitness wise. But right now, it's CIM.
Good. Okay, so myself, I am training. I'm going to be running a probably two halves. So for sure, the San Jose Rock and Roll, which is on October 1st. So to join our friend Missy, who always runs that one. So I'll be joining her. And then I always run the Berkeley half. So that's the weekend right before Thanksgiving. So it actually does fit nicely to my training for CIM. So I can kind of squeeze those in kind of as I go. So, okay. I think that's it about running. Any last thoughts, Tim or Doug, as we kind of wrap this up, you guys?
Only it's thing August. I'll
throw out.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, Doug.
I was going to say is I didn't tell you guys what shoes I run in. I also run in Brooks, but I run in Ghosts. So I think between the three of us, we run in everything Brooks makes.
Yeah. Yeah, I run in the Glycerins and the Adrenalines. Tim runs in the Beasts, and you got the Ghosts. I've also bought a pair of the Rebels, so they're okay too. Cool. And then, Doug? What do you take for yourself when you run? I forgot to ask you that question. Like, what sort of like goo or, you know?
I'm a goo fan. I've been a goo fan forever. I caffeinated vanilla goo is what I use. I have tried honey stingers. They'd mess my stomach up just a little bit. And usually I'm not a big fan of jelly beans because by the time I would take them on a run, the last thing I want to do is chew a jelly bean.
Okay. Well, I think we'll kind of wrap this one up. We'll meet next time and we'll talk about our next races, whatever we got lined up. So thanks everybody for joining us today. We will talk to you guys soon. All right. Thanks, Doug. Thanks, Tim. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks.